Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hey, don't you appreciate our worship team leading us today? That was awesome. Thank you, guys. I love that song about God's fire burning in us, the passion to see the world come to know Christ. They need it, because without Christ, we spend eternity in hell. But God is worthy of it. That's really the motive. God is worthy of that the whole world declare that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I hope that you've been encouraged by this series, What on Earth Am I Here For? I hope you've been thinking about it, really. Something like this. The truth is, every message that I share, every series we do, studies in small group, whatever it is that you're doing, your own personal devotional time, I hope that you are really processing it and letting God work in your heart. I see all this kind of like Jell-O. I mean, it's really got to set, you know. You got to really let it set and work and let God do something with it in your heart. And I hope that we're doing that. I started this now several weeks ago and kind of set it up with an introduction. And then we looked at our first purpose, really, our first mission in life. It was the purpose of worship, that God has called us to be worshipers, to know and to love God. The next week, Skeeter led us in a message on fellowship and community, and that we were made for each other, and we need each other. We're wired for that. We work better together. We worship better together. Everything we do, God has made us to do it together. Then we looked at a message on discipleship, that we were made to become like Christ. We really are. God wants us to grow and our character to change, that when we step out into the world, we ought to represent Jesus to the world. They ought to look at us and see something distinctly different about the lives of believers. We ought to represent Jesus everywhere we go. Now, I believe that we need to open up our mouths and give a verbal witness, and I'm going to talk about that today, but we live that witness. You know, and honestly, if our life contradicts our words, then the message is garbled, and we don't want that. And so a discipleship is a key part. We looked last week at our purpose of ministry that God has called us to serve, and we used Rick Warren's acrostic shape as part of it. In your small groups, you talked about it as well, that God has given us each a unique spiritual shape. Spiritual gifts, hearts, passions, abilities, personality, and experience. All these things form together to make us who we are. And God has made us unique, special. And there's things that you can do that no one else can do them quite like you can. And so it's important, it's essential that we try to figure that out and we plug in and we look for those opportunities to serve and to make a difference in the world. Today we're going to be talking about our fifth purpose. And it's interesting that this fifth purpose is really, of the five, it's the only purpose that is reserved just for earth. The other purposes we'll be doing for all of eternity. This one's unique to the years that you live here on this planet. In John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus was praying and he says, "As you've sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." We're going to be looking today at the fact that God has sent us into the world with a mission, a mandate, a responsibility to carry out, to fulfill as we live on this planet for whatever period of time we have, a mission, a reason that we're here. I want us to see this morning that you were made for mission. We're all made for a mission. God has a plan for our life. The Apostle Paul was dealing with it in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. We'll get to our text in just a minute. But Acts chapter 20, he's talking with some of the leaders from Ephesus. He knows he's going back to Jerusalem. It's already been prophesied that he's going to be arrested. There's going to be some problems come, and he'll be persecuted for his faith. And we know that Paul eventually was beheaded for his stand for Christ. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he's talking to these Ephesian leaders. He said, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." This mission that Paul had is our mission. So we're going to see this morning that my fifth purpose is to share the good news. We have some incredible news, and God's given us the responsibility of sharing it. This sharing the good news is simply called evangelism, to evangelize, to tell the world of what we have in Christ. Here at Sunrise, we have 12 core values. One of our core values says, we value the gospel of Jesus Christ and will always demonstrate that lost people matter to God by striving to lead them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. One of our values is this gospel that changes lives. Many of us in this room have been changed by the amazing message of God's love and His plan of redemption for the world. We've experienced that. It's changed everything. It's changed our perspective. It's changed our families. It's changed our marriages. It changes our goals, our ambitions. It changes everything about life and eternity. Now in Acts chapter 1, these are some of the final words of Jesus before He ascended into heaven. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus not only died on the cross and He rose again from the dead, but He ascended into heaven and He is now there preparing a place for us, the Bible says, and one of these days we'll spend eternity with Him. These last days before He left the earth were important. You can imagine the last things He wanted to impart to His disciples before He left. These were critical moments. And I want us to read about these last moments in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and I believe that through it, we will be challenged to understand our mission and how essential it is, how important it is that we plug into this fifth purpose and realize that God has left us here for a reason to live out our days, and we need to do so faithfully. So let's begin reading in verse 3 of Acts chapter 1. To these He also presented Himself alive, speaking to His disciples and some others. He presented Himself alive after His suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you love to know all those things? Wouldn't you just love to be on fly on the wall and just listen to all the things that Jesus said on these last 40 days as He met with those who were His followers? Verse 4, it says, gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hold your finger right there. See, when Jesus was here ministering on the earth, the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers like He does today. Something new happened after Jesus left. The Bible teaches us that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in your heart, to live in your life, to be a part of who you are, to empower you and enable you and equip you and use you and serve through you to impact the world. So that had not happened up to this point. The Holy Spirit's role in ministering in the world was a little different back before Pentecost. But after Jesus left, there was an experience called Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came, and from that moment on, He indwells the hearts and the lives of believers. So Jesus is speaking of that. And He's saying the Holy Spirit's going to come not many days from now. So He's saying to the disciples, you go back to Jerusalem and you pray and you wait, because the thing that I'm about to give you to do, Jesus is saying, you can't do by yourself. Verse 6, so when they come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. An amazing experience that day. Can you imagine how impactful those words were to the disciples of Jesus that day as He met with them and He said these final things? I want us to look at these words. I believe that from them we can see some very important things about our mission. Because these words that Jesus said to His disciples were not just for them, they're for us as well, as we think about this fifth purpose, our purpose to share the good news. I want us to see, first of all, that our mission is an opportunity to join God in His work. I know you have some notes in your bulletin. I hope you'll follow along as we consider this. I want us to think about the fact that our mission is an opportunity to join God and what He is doing in the world. In verse 8, which is really the focal point of this message, verse 8, He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses. In other words, the Holy Spirit, who is God, God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to indwell you through my Spirit, and we're going to work together. We're going to do something to change the world. We're going to do something to impact the world for all of eternity. You see, the point that the Bible reveals to us over and over is that God is at work. He's always at work around us. John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said this. He's actually talking to some Pharisees. Now, if you know the context of this passage, Jesus was kind of being ridiculed for working on Sunday. He healed somebody on Sunday. Can you imagine that, how horrible that was for the Son of God? And can you imagine some religious leaders who are a bunch of pharisaical hypocrites to look at God and say, shame, shame, he healed somebody on Sunday. But this is what Jesus said to them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. God is always at work. He's been at work always in the past, and he's at work right now. He says, I'm working. Henry Blackaby made this statement. He said that history is the activity of God in accomplishing his mighty purpose. If you look all through history, you can see God's thumbprint as God is moving us toward a certain conclusion. The Bible talks about that conclusion. We can study the Scripture, and we know exactly where things are going. Matter of fact, you can watch the news, and if you've got the Bible in one hand and the news on or newspaper, whatever it is, however you get the news, you can figure out what's going to happen to some extent. Now, I don't think we can know the dates, and I don't think you can know all the details, but I think we can certainly see how the world is moving along toward a certain conclusion. God's got a plan, and he's working it. You know the word history, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, it's really God's story, his story, how it's unfolding before our very eyes. He's got a plan, and he's working it. So history is the activity of God in accomplishing his mighty purposes. Now, we have a tendency when we think about our lives to focus on ourselves. Even as Christians, when we think about our mission in the world, we're thinking about my mission. God, what can I do for you? I remember as a young person praying that prayer, God, I want to do something for you. What can I do for you? And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think the perspective is a little off. Instead of saying, God, what can I do for you? Our focus should not really be on ourselves, but rather on God. So instead of saying, God, what is your will for my life? Maybe we should be saying, God, what is your will and how can I join in that? What are you doing in the world and how can I be a part of that? Not what can I do, but God, what are you doing around me? And how can I participate in what you're doing? It kind of goes back to the first sentence of the first chapter of the book that we've been reading, What on Earth Am I Here For? Do you remember the first sentence? It's not about you. Do you remember that? It's not about you. Now, we've been twisted in our thinking to think that it really is about us. We think, like the scholars of old, they used to think the earth was the center of the universe. We think we're the center of the universe and everything's supposed to revolve around us. It doesn't. Life is not about you. Life is about God and his plan, his purpose, what he's doing in the world. And so as we think about our mission, if we want to plug into this fifth purpose, we got to realize that we are plugging into what God is doing in the world, what God is up to. Now, when we think about God being at work, have you ever thought about that? When you think about God working, what comes to your mind? Well, he created the world, so he did some work there. And the Bible says on the seventh day he rested. So we know that he was working back then. You can read through the Bible, and you can see all the accounts of God, all the works of God, all the activity of God through the Scriptures. But Jesus says God continues to work every day. So what is God doing? What's God doing in our world today? We really ought to spend some time thinking about that. What do you think God is up to? Just look around. Look at the Scriptures and see what he did in the past, and what is he doing now? I think that would be a worthwhile thought for us to kind of hold on to for a while. Because actually what we're going to do, or what we're challenged to do, and that is to join God in his work. I'll tell you one thing that God is up to. God is up to the business of making himself known. He's working to make himself known to the world. He is revealing himself. He is doing things. He is orchestrating things. He is moving us along. He is making himself known. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you want to know what God is doing, what his work is, he is working to help those who don't know him yet to come to know him. Now sometimes that means orchestrating things, orchestrating events. You know, God uses events in our life to get our attention. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's a crisis. Maybe it's a victory. Maybe it's something your kids do. I'm telling you, you can learn a lot about God and a lot about life just by looking at your kids. You want to know what it's like to be a child of God? Just watch your little one. You know, I think we can learn a lot. So God is teaching us. He's doing things to get our attention and to teach us about Himself. If you're not a Christian, it may be that God has allowed some things to come along your path to show you that you really need God. You really cannot pull this off by yourself. You can't figure it out. You can't solve your dilemmas. You can't go through your crises alone. You can't heal yourself. You can't deal with your diseases. You can't figure out life by yourself. You need God. See, we live in a broken world, and it's an amazing thing. I believe that God uses our brokenness to teach us eternal truths. You know, sometimes we ask these questions, you know, why do we have to be broken? Why do things have to be the way they are? Why do I have to go through this problem? Or why do I have to have this sickness? And we have all these why issues, and those are great questions. One of the answers to it is, our world is broken. This is not the way it's supposed to be. It's broken because of sin. And there's huge consequences because of the sin in the world. And so in the midst of our brokenness, God says, you know what? I'm going to redeem this moment. I'm going to take what Satan meant for destruction, and I'm going to use it for good. I'm going to teach my children some important truths about life and about eternity. And so God wants to teach us. He's working. And one of the things He's teaching us, He's working to show us, is that we need Him. We need Him desperately. Now, if we were to go back and to look at our Scripture, as we understand that we're joining in with what God is doing. Look at verses 6 and 7 of our text, Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, you need to know a little background here. I think a lot of the disciples, a lot of people, back in the day when Jesus was here on this earth, they thought that the Messiah would come, and they saw Him to be a military deliverer. They thought that God was going to send the Messiah, and He was going to be someone who would come and overthrow the Roman government. Or He would overthrow some government that was manipulating Israel. Because you know that a good portion of Israel's history, they were under the control of some other government. And so many people thought the Messiah would come and He would deliver Israel. And they would once again have their freedom. That didn't happen until 1948, right? But they thought it was going to happen, and they thought Messiah was going to do that. So if you understand that concept, verse 6 then kind of makes sense. Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Lord, are you going to finally overthrow the Roman government? Are you going to set things right? Are you going to show them who's boss? Are you going to allow us to finally, once again, be our own nation? I love this. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority." What is He saying? By the way, this word times and epochs, I don't know what your translation may say. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It's interesting. It's two different Greek words. They both could have been translated times. I mean, many other places you might would see that. But it would read, "It's not for you to know the times or the times." I mean, so that wouldn't make sense. It's two different words. One is the Greek word chronos. We have a chronology, time, minutes, hours, you know, those kinds of things. That was one of the Greek words, and that's the first one. And we measure time that way. The second Greek word is one that describes moments or opportunities or seasons. Some of your translations might use the word seasons. It's not your business, in other words, Jesus is saying, for you to know the times, the hours, or the seasons. What is Jesus saying in this passage? See, the disciples are saying, "Hey, Jesus, are you going to like overthrow the Roman government now? Is now the time that you're going to sit on the throne and you're going to run all these guys off that have been charging us so much for taxes? And are you going to, is now the time for that?" And you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, "Guys, that's not your business. That's really not your business. You don't need to worry about that. You need to mind your own business. And your business has nothing to do with this timetable." Now, there's other places in the Scripture that God tells us to understand Bible prophecy and to watch the signs of the times and to look at what's going on. There's other places. I've written a book about it, right? So understanding the importance of Bible prophecy in the last days and preparing for the last days, I don't think Jesus is denying that, because in other places He talks about being ready for what is to come. But I believe what Jesus is saying is, it would be so easy for us to be so consumed with what's going to happen at the very end, that we forget to live in the meantime. That we have responsibilities now. We cannot just live with our head in the clouds and just anticipate the rapture, the return of Christ that the Bible talks about. We got to understand, we got a lot of work to be doing in the meantime. I believe that God calls us to be meantime Christians and not end time Christians. You know what I'm saying? That we got a lot of responsibilities here. And so he's saying to the disciples, listen, you know what? That's really the Father's business. That's really my business as to when I'm going to come back and when my kingdom is going to be established. What you need to do is focus on your business. And your business is to be my witness. That's what he says in verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's your business, to be my witnesses. It seems that in this passage it's saying that one evidence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life is that we tell others, that we got to tell others about what God is doing in our life. Jesus gave us this commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is our responsibility. This is our mandate. So our mission then, as we understand this fifth purpose, is the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Can you think of anything more awesome than that? Do you remember when you were a kid, did you ever go to work with your dad? I did. I used to go to work with my dad. My dad was a Kroger store manager. And I loved going to work with my dad. He would always go all the time. We'd be checking stuff, you know, checking, make the refrigerating is still on. We'd go back into the meat area, you know. I used to go to work with him, and they'd give me a little hat and a little apron, and I'd help him cut meat. I'm sure I probably didn't, but I felt like I was. I was back there. I was the meat guy, you know, and I was getting the hamburgers ready and all that. I loved it. I wanted to do the cash register. He wouldn't let me do that. But I love going to work with my dad. And, you know, I believe that God says, I want you to come to work with me. We got some stuff to do before I come back. I'm coming back, and I believe he's coming back soon. We got a lot to do to get ready for his return, and we need to get busy. So our mission is this opportunity to join him. But note the second thing is that our mission strategy is not systematic but simultaneous. Okay, so if we could hold on to that thought. Because as we try to plug into this fifth purpose, we got to understand that we have a huge responsibility here. It's not this systematic approach, but it's a simultaneous approach. Stay with me as we consider this. Look again at verse 8. It says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Think about what he's saying here. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. What is he saying? For us, our Jerusalem is right here in Noonan. He says, we have a responsibility to reach our community right here. This is our Jerusalem, is to reach Coweta County or wherever it is that you live, your neighborhood, your community, your family, those right here closest to you. Maybe our Judea would be something like Georgia. Maybe Samaria, we could just say, would be the USA. For them, the Samaritans were people who were not like them. They were actually people they kind of had a grudge against, they didn't really like. The Jewish people kind of had a thing with the Samaritans. But God is saying, look, even people not like you, that's your responsibility. People that act different, people with a different culture, people with a different background, people who don't have it all together, people who may have some history in their life that's messing them up along the way. The remotest parts of the world, all over. The thing I want us to see in this passage is that God says our responsibility is not Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. But notice the little word and. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. If we're going to fulfill this fifth part, this fifth purpose for being left here on this planet, we got to understand that God has given us responsibility to reach the world. That includes home. That includes everywhere. We don't just reach Noonan first, and then when we finally get Noonan reached, then we'll start focusing everywhere else. We got to reach. It's a simultaneous thing. We got to go everywhere all at the same time. Now, that's a huge responsibility, isn't it? I'll tell you this, it's a lot easier today than it used to be. I'll never forget when the internet was new. I remember kids have a tendency to figure it all out sooner, you know, than we do as adults. And my son came bouncing up the stairs one day and says, hey, Dad, I was just talking to somebody in China. I said, what do you mean? He says, yeah, he was chatting with somebody in China. And he says, I was telling him about Jesus. And how awesome is that? that you can get on the internet and you can talk to somebody all the way around the world and tell them about Jesus. We have some opportunities that did not exist yesterday, but they do exist today. So I want us to understand then, as we plug into this fifth purpose, if we really want to be purpose-driven, we got to figure out how to reach not only our neighborhood with this wonderful message of the gospel, but we got to reach around the world. It's everybody's responsibility. It's not just mine. It's not just yours. We all do it together as we reach our world for Christ. Now, there's several ways we can do this. One, we fulfill this strategy through our missionaries. We really do. And we've got some wonderful missionaries. There's people doing work all over the world in very powerful ways. And I think that one way that we accomplish this mission strategy is by supporting our missionaries, by working with them, by helping them, by understanding that this is one way that it's done. Here as Southern Baptist missionary, Christians, we have thousands of missionaries serving all over the world. And we have that wonderful privilege of being a part of what they're doing. Part of our offerings go to that. There are other kinds of missions things that we do. You may remember the Rees, Michael and Kelly Rees. They came here a while back and I interviewed them. They were about to go to Ecuador and they're serving there. And we help them financially. So there's things that we can do to impact the world for Jesus as we send out missionaries. We've sent out missionaries from here all over. And I think it's a very powerful thing. So missionaries is one way that we can do it. We're privileged to have Mike and Kathy Weaver here, part of our church family. They have been missionaries with the International Mission Board for 22 years. Could I just impose upon, is Kathy here or is she serving somewhere? Could y'all just come up here? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. I want to bring Mike and Kathy Weaver up here for just a second. The reason I want to do this is because they've been with the International Mission Board for 22 years. And today is the first day of their retirement. And so I want to ask you, could you guys just come up here for just a second? Hey, I want to tell you this. Missionaries are our heroes. They're like our superheroes. And I wanted to put y'all on the spot because we love y'all and we're so proud of y'all. 22 years. They served in Peru for what, 17, 18 years? And then they've been here stateside. And the way that we connected with them, first of all, they were in Peru, actually, when I first heard their name. We were working to adopt an unreached people group. And whenever we said, hey, we want to adopt an unreached people group, the International Mission Board says, well, you need to get together with Mike and Kathy Weaver. They're going to be moving to the United States, and they're going to help you connect with the unreached people group. And it just so happens, guess what? They're moving to Noonan. Oh, really? How about that? So they came and visited, and God led them to join here. And it's been wonderful. They've helped us connect with our group in southern Mexico and been a big part of what we're doing. And we really, really appreciate y'all. You know, missionaries are sort of the unsung heroes, I think, of the Christian world. And we just want to honor you. We have a gift for you. And we just want to say we love y'all. And we're just so proud to have you part of our church family. And they're not done. You know, retirement is retreading. You're just getting ready for the next chapter, right?
That's exactly right.
And so they've got some new things coming up, and they'll be doing some more mission stuff and more mission work, and they're going to continue to help us. And we have a plan for you. I told Esther, honey, it's about half as big as you. So, so we just want to say praise God for you. Would you join me and just once again just say, yay, God. Yay, thank you. We love y'all. We love you. God bless y'all. So we fulfill this part of it, is, as far as reaching our world, we do it through missionaries who are going all over everywhere. We've got missionaries everywhere. We've got missionaries in some of the most dangerous places in the world, and we know some of those, serving every day, knowing that their lives could be taken, serving. I'm so thankful for that. We're going to be talking later on. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Mike and Kathy later, first Sunday of December, just help me introduce our Lighting Moon Christmas offering. We take a missions offering every year for missionaries, and we support missionaries all over the world. And I was chatting with one of my friends who's serving in a very dangerous area this past week, and we were talking about Lighting Moon Christmas offering. And they anticipate that offering coming because it's going to help them be effective in their work where they're serving. And so we'll talk more about that later on. But so we fulfill the strategy through our missionaries, but we also fulfill the strategy through our prayers and through our offerings. Prayer is a big part. If we want to reach our world for Christ, we really ought to develop a plan to pray for our world. Here's a thought I had. You know, right now with ISIS on the news and all the horrible things that's going on in the world, what if we could say, you know what, from now on, when I'm watching the news and something comes on like that and describes what ISIS is doing or what somebody's doing in the world, what terrorists are doing or whatever, could we let that be a call to prayer? Just right there, mute your television and pray for that part of the world, that God's light would shine. You know why terrorism is reigning in our world today? Because darkness is prevailing. We need to pray that God's light would shine. So we could all become prayer warriors and pray for our world that they would come to know Christ. Pray for those Christians who are there. Listen, there are Christians everywhere. You know where Christianity is growing brightest right now? It's not the United States. China. China. China is becoming the central of the Christian movement. And China's communist. It's not right to be a Christian there. But Christianity is blossoming. It's growing. God's Spirit is moving. And we ought to be prayer warriors for our brothers and sisters all over the world. And when we hear of darkness that seems to be winning the battle in these places in the world, we ought to get on our knees and say, God, I pray that your light would shine. I pray for the believers in that area. I pray for protection. I pray that you would rise up godly Christians to shine their light, that the world may know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Prayer is big. And we need to make that a part of our experience as we connect with this fifth purpose, to understand that we do battle on our knees. This spiritual warfare is a serious thing. And we ought to be praying for people around the world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul understood this. If you know the Ephesians 6 passage, this is a section dealing with the spiritual armor for our spiritual battles that we experience every day. Verse 19, he said, "And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." You know, you may not be able to go to Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan, some of those kind of places, but you know, there's Christians there. And we ought to pray for these Christians who are there. They would be able to open up their mouths with boldness and share the gospel. We ought to be praying for their protection. For some of these Christians who are imprisoned over there, we ought to be praying for their deliverance. And for those who are going to die for their faith, we ought to be praying for their courage, that they would die well and they would represent Christ with their dying message, with their dying witness. So we fulfill this strategy through our prayers and through our offerings. Can we just say, God, as I connect to this fifth purpose, I want to be a prayer warrior for missions around the world. Here's another thing. We fulfill this strategy through our own witness. You know, it's a whole lot easier today to get on an airplane and fly anywhere in the world than it used to be. You can go anywhere. You can be anywhere. You can be sharing the gospel. You can get on the internet. You can share the gospel. You can write books, you can share the gospel. I mean, it's amazing the opportunities that exist today that did not exist before. I was amazed. One of my books went on sale one day, and I just thought, I wonder where this book is selling. And I looked online, and there was someone in India, people in India, buying my Psalms book. Just blew my mind. In India. It's not a Christian community, but somebody in India, several somebodies, were buying my book on Psalms. Here's the thing. You can impact the world, and it's so easy today. Through the internet, but also through going. We have the responsibility to go and to share our witness. And that's what this scripture is saying, that we're gonna receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we're going to be His witnesses. We will be His witnesses, He says. Not you should be, or you might have that opportunity. You will be my witnesses all over the world, He says. I loved what one writer said, Michael Green. He observed that one reason the early church was so successful evangelistically was that they shared the gospel like gossip over the backyard fence. That's what he said. It's like gossip over the backyard fence. That's how they share the gospel. You know what? I think it's time for Christians to quit gossiping about the wrong kind of thing and start gossiping about the right kind of thing. Could you just, in your small groups tonight or whenever you meet, would you just say, small group, I want us to quit gossiping about something that doesn't matter. I want us to quit gossiping about stuff that hurts the kingdom of God. And I want us to gossip about stuff that matters. And that's that the gospel changes lives. That God is in the business of redeeming the world. And it is our responsibility to share that all over the world. And can we do that as we step out into the world this week? Would we let our mouths flow freely with the truth that Jesus changes lives? That's why the early church was so successful, because they were willing to gossip over the backyard fence about Jesus. One key part of our mission strategy here at Sunrise is friendship. We talk about it a lot. Matter of fact, if you go through our new members class, we talk about it. That this is key. This is essential. This is important. That we make friends with people who don't know Jesus. Because here's the thing, you've got neighbors that I will never meet. You come across the paths of people that I will never have the opportunity to engage. You can make friends for Jesus and tell your friends about the hope that you found in Christ. Matter of fact, this is such an important part of our mission strategy here at Sunrise. If we fail in this part of our strategy, we fail. It's so important for us as a church to understand. If we're going to reach this community for Christ, it means that we all have to realize our responsibility to go out into the world and meet people who don't know Jesus and tell them about the hope that we have in Christ. It's a very essential part of who we are. God has given us a great cause, a great cause. There is a spiritual battle that is being waged. And I tell you what hangs in the balance. It is the lives, the souls, the eternities of men and women, boys and girls. This is essential. This is important. We fulfill this strategy as we personally accept this responsibility to be a witness in the world. Robert Coleman years ago wrote a book on evangelism. He says, "We are not called to hold the fort, but to storm the heights." And I think it's time. It's time for the church to wake up and say, you know what? We're not fort holders here. We're not keepers of the aquarium. God has called us to be fishers of men. We got to go out and storm the heights and tell others about Jesus Christ. This is our fifth purpose. This is why we're here. And we need to understand this responsibility. Our mission strategy, simultaneous all over the world. Here's the final thing. Our mission resource is not our ingenuity, but God's power. Can we connect to this for just a moment? I tell you one thing I love about Sunrise. We've got some of the most creative people here on the planet, part of this church family. We see it all the time. We see amazing creativity. You know where that creativity came from? God gave it to them. We have creative people here because God made them creative and people are willing to work. Do you want to tell you where our spiritual fruit's going to come from? It's going to come from God's power working through us. That's how it's going to happen. As we surrender to the power of Jesus Christ, as we surrender to the Holy Spirit of God working in us, and that's what our text says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Isn't it significant? God's about to send His disciples out into the world. And what he says is, now listen, guys, you need to go back to Jerusalem and wait on the Holy Spirit. You can't do this by yourself. You cannot win the world with a gospel message by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And so you need to go back and wait on him because he's coming. And he's going to fill you and he's going to use you. Great news, church. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives in your life. And God wants to empower you. And God wants to help you. God wants to enable you. God has gifted you. He wants to use you. He wants to give you spiritual sensitivity to what He's doing in the world. You want to talk about where God is at work? We ought to get up every morning and say, God, show me where You're at work so I can join You. Holy Spirit of God, work through my life. I surrender to You today. And I want to be used by You to turn the light on in the heart of somebody whose life is very dark because of sin. That ought to be our passion. Our mission resource is God's power working in our lives. I think this connects to all the other purposes if you think about it. Our discipleship is key. We need to be growing in Christ's likeness as we surrender every day to the Holy Spirit of God's power. When we do that, we're becoming more equipped to be effective in our world. Calls for prayer in our life. It calls for availability to say, God, I'm willing to be used by You. It calls for us to see life as one divine appointment after another. Do you see life that way? We ought to get up in the morning. God, today's a great day. You've got some divine appointments for me today. I don't want to miss them. You got some people that You want me to encounter. Somebody's going through a problem and You want me to step into their life and encourage them. You've got a Christian friend, God, that You want me to just speak a word of encouragement to. You got somebody that's lost that needs to hear the gospel. God, I just want to be available to You today. You have some divine appointments. I don't want to miss them. You know how easy it is to miss divine appointments? We do it all the time. We miss divine appointments, one, because we get so absorbed in our own problems. You ever notice that? Satan loves to give us problems, so we just become absorbed. You want to know one of the greatest ways to overcome problems in your life? Quit thinking about yourself and start serving other people. That's one of the greatest ways. When you're going through grief, you're going through problems, going through different, just start serving others. It's amazing how God will use your service not only to bless other people, but to bring you out also, out of your own struggles. Satan loves to trip us up by making us get focused on ourselves. So we need to say, God, I don't want to focus on myself today. I want to focus on you, and I want to be tuned into what you're doing. I want these spiritual antenna to go up from my spirit today so that I see what you're doing around me, and when somebody crosses my path, I recognize immediately that you're working in their heart, and if I want to be in on what you're doing, I'm going to engage that person. I'm going to talk with that person. I'm going to love on that person. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to connect with them. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing as we plug into what God is doing in the world? It is our responsibility as we surrender to the power of Almighty God. Open to change, open to what God is doing, open to God working in me supernaturally, open to living by faith and trusting that God's going to guide me in the process. God's got a great work for us to do. This fifth purpose is big. God's left you here for a reason. So what is that reason? Are you going to fulfill this purpose? To say, I want to tell the world about Jesus. Sunrise, I want us to be a church that's really driven like this. Tell you, as I was singing that song, For God to Burn Like a Fire in Me, I just had a yearning, a passion in my heart. I want us to be that kind of church. I don't want us to be self-absorbed. I don't want us just to come to get happy or to have our needs met or whatever. It's not about us. I want us to be a church that says, God, this is about you, and we want to be used by you to make a difference in the world. If you're visiting and you're looking for a church, if you want to be a part of a church like that, and if you're willing to help us be a church like that, I invite you to join us. I believe that God wants to use us to change the world. And the question for us today, Sunrise, is will we be willing to be a church like that? To impact the world with the truth of the gospel. This is our fifth purpose. This is why we're here. All of these purposes are important. They're essential. And if we want to connect to why am I made, why am I on this earth, what on earth am I here for, this fifth one's big. You're here to make sure that the whole world knows that Jesus loves them and he still changes lives. And maybe you came in this place today and you'd have to say, you know what, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never become a Christian. I'm thinking about it. I've considered it. I'm open to it. I see some Christians, they kind of turn me off. I'm not sure that I want that. I want to tell you, I'm sorry for Christians who turn you off, but I want to tell you, God changes lives. And he wants to meet you today, and he wants to change your life. He died for you. He rose again from the dead. He conquered death, and he wants to help you conquer death in your own life by giving you spiritual victory. I invite you to Christ. I invite you to turn from your sin and yourself and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Will you do that today? And then will you connect to these five purposes that we've been talking about over these weeks and fulfill the plan? I'm telling you, there's great joy in that. There's great joy in understanding why I'm here and then living your life to do it. So this fifth purpose, our mission, it's an opportunity to join God in his work and what he's doing in the world. Will you join him in what he's doing? Will you spend the rest of your life co-laboring together, working together with God and reaching our world? Simultaneously, embracing the globe, realizing we have a responsibility to do more than just Noonan. It's around the world. It's our responsibility. And that's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just close with this illustration that actually Erasmus, who was a Renaissance scholar way, way, way back, he used this illustration. He told a story about Jesus returning to heaven. Okay, after the ascension, he goes to heaven. And can you just imagine in your sanctified imaginations, Jesus returns, all the angels gather. I don't know what the angels would do when he came back, high fives. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happens there as they all gather. But I'm sure it was an exciting moment for Christ to return to heaven, okay? And they all gathered around, and Erasmus tells this story that Jesus returned to heaven. And all the angels gather around. They said, what happened? What happened? And Jesus told them all that happened. Okay, so, you know, angels, maybe they didn't know all that was going on. So he says, he told about the miracles, the teaching, his death and his resurrection. He told them the whole story of all that had happened over those 33 years. And then the angel says, so now what are you going to do? And Jesus says, well, I've left 11 faithful men who will declare my message. They're going to establish my church, and their followers will spread the message of redemption all over the world. That's my plan. Michael the archangel said in this illustration, but what if these men fail? What then? And Jesus said, I have no other plan. this is it. The church is the plan. You know, we know that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, but you know, God has given us the message of the gospel. So church, that means we're the hope of the world. As we share this message every day of our life with people who are desperate to know Christ, will you fulfill this fifth purpose? Will you connect to one reason God has saved you and left you here? Could we stand together, please, and let's close our eyes and bow our heads. What an awesome task you've given us, Father, to make this gospel message known to the world. It's awesome in many ways. It's exciting that you allow us the privilege of being in on this. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've given us the task, given us responsibility. I pray that you would help us to think long and hard about this fifth purpose, that we would connect to it, that we would see that we have a great responsibility, an awesome privilege of helping people to find hope and help and strength and healing, forgiveness, life in Jesus Christ. So may we be faithful to the task. I realize there's some here this morning, I'm sure, who have not yet made the decision to cross over the line of faith. God, I pray today would be the day they do that. To connect to something bigger than life, eternal. Not only for themselves, but connecting to the task, the job, the responsibility, the incredible opportunity to be a part of what the God of the universe is doing in the world today. So God, I pray that there would be some today even who would choose faith. They would choose to surrender. Their others deal with all manner of things. Maybe Satan has done things to trip them up or to hinder them or to get their focus off of the important things and on themselves. And I pray that maybe today would be a time of renewal and new beginnings as we just start fresh and we stiff-arm the evil one and we move on down the playing field to stay focused on the prize, Jesus Christ, and our responsibilities in the world. So Lord, use these closing moments just to call us to yourself, that we could just say, God, we want to be your church, and we surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to sing together, bring our service to a close. And I invite us all to respond one way or the other. I hope that we always do this when the word is taught. I hope that we'll really think about it. And just in your own heart, just right where you're standing, you just may want to say, Jesus, sign me up. I'm in. I am all in. Maybe I've not been a strong witness in the past, but today I just want to say I want to serve you. You might would say, I'm not a Christian. If you'd like to come and speak with me or Skeeter and say, hey, I want to become a Christian, you could do it right here, right now. You could catch us after the service is over. We could talk about it. You might would like to come and kneel here at the front and pray. There might be several of you. We might have some small groups want to come and just say, God, we want to be about you. And as a group, we just want to surrender to you because we want to be focused on this fifth purpose. We want to be tuned in and surrendered. All right? You might be saying, I've been coming to this church for a while and we want to take a step toward membership. Just come and share that with me or Skeeter. We'd love to introduce you to the church family. All right? Let's sing together and you come as God leads.